Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted English?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
All right, hour number three is upon us. John Rush, your host, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, and we appreciate you listening very much. And again, yes, we are in hour three now. Gregory Wrightstone joining us now, and he is, again, as I said earlier, the author of the book, The Inconvenient Facts, the Science That Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know. And real quick, Greg, I want to make sure that I mention, if it's okay, and just inform me that that book is free on Audible, no credit needed right now. Is that true?
I haven't seen that, but that's an Amazon decision.
Okay. Well, that's what she just sent me a moment ago and sent me a screenshot, so there we go.
Yeah, go get it. And because I still get my money. What they're doing is eating that, trying to get more action. Actually, if you go to Amazon, you'll find that it's a number one bestseller in public policy today,
awesome.
3.5 years after published. And we just one other thing I'll throw out there,
sure.
A fist pump in the air. Last Friday, Candace Owens led her show, 6.5 minutes on climate change, featuring my book and recommending that every parent in America needs to buy this for their child.
Nice.
And it was just sales, obviously.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll fist pump you. That's awesome. Good job, Greg. I appreciate that. That's great news. Awesome. Good job. Okay, let's talk about the climate crisis, not the border crisis. This 50% reduction in U.S. greenhouse emissions by 2030. That, in my opinion, if we go down this path, Greg, will wreck not only the economy but other things in the country as well.
It will. There's a lot of ways to unpack this. It can't be done, number one. Number two, why can't it be done? Just one of the reasons is it requires a huge amount of these special minerals and elements, the rare earth elements, lithium, cobalt, and some other things. And this is dominated by China. China controls 80% of those minerals. One of the biggest mistakes Donald Trump made was at the end of his administration when he killed the Pebble mine up in Alaska because his son, it was just stupid. His son fished in the stream up there for salmon, and they were afraid. It was going to be one of the largest mines mining these needed minerals and elements, and they killed it, and for no good reason. And so what we're going to be doing. The week that Joe Biden was inaugurated was the first week since 1985 that America did not import one barrel of oil from Saudi Arabia. So we worked for decades and decades trying to get away from being reliant on the Middle East to have energy security, energy independence. We finally got there. Now he wants to switch that over by electrifying America to a dependence on China for these elements that are needed for mainly batteries, but also solar panels and wind turbines. And because if you're going to electrify America, you need lots and lots and lots of batteries, and they require these. Just the IEA, International Energy Group, that just released a report yesterday on these rare earth minerals, and they were candid. It would require his vision for electrification of America. Would require, they listed six different of these minerals and elements. They would have to increase production by 700% at the minimum, and 7,400% was one of these. And we just can't do it. I mean, these are, if you look at a deep coal mine, you barely know it's there. You can see the tower there,
but
they're doing it underground.
Right.
When we look at a fracking operation, you don't know it's there. You don't, well, when there's a rig there, you can see
Once it's gone and done, you don't know it's there.
Exactly.
You have no idea what we did there.
minimal footprint.
Not the case in a rare earth mine where you strip it.
Not at all. And these are, and it's, we're seeing human rights abuses.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up, Greg. And one thing, too, I think as conservatives, we need to start talking about more and pushing back, especially to the left, is the atrocities that are literally happening in these mines, the child labor, the sex trade that's going along with that, the slave trade that's going along with it. I mean, there's so many atrocities there, Greg. We could take an hour and just unpack that by itself.
Well, all your listeners need to do is just Google two words, cobalt and Congo, and the first thing to pop up, you'll learn about these 12 and 10-year-old boys, 14-year-old boys that are being used in these cobalt mines to go mine the cobalt. And it's just horrible. And these people, and Joe Biden's complicit in this. These people are complicit in this forced child labor market in the Congo to mine cobalt.
Unreal.
And it's most of the cobalt is mined in the Congo, but it's transported to China for processing, about 80% of the cobalt. And again, this is a needed element that's required for battery.
So what you're telling me is we're shifting what was our dependence on, you know, foreign entities, Russia, Saudi Arabia for oil. We now have got that handle where we can do that ourselves. But instead of going down that path and continuing to be independent, we're now going to shift our dependence upon another, let's just call it the rare earth metals, whatever, you know, another foreign entity. We're not going to be dependent on for our livelihood when it comes to energy in the future if we go down this path. How stupid that is.
It's incredibly stupid, and President Xi over in China has to be rubbing his hands together in glee. Not only is he
here's my belief on that, Greg, real quick. Not only is he rubbing his hands in glee, he's pulling the strings on the puppet that's now the president of the United States. Let's get this right. This is not that he's back there clapping. I mean, he's clapping in his own performance if he does that. He's got the guy that he wants, that he's wanted all along, doing exactly what his bidding was, and he's just pulling the strings now. Let's face it.
Well, I'm not going to go there because I'm part of the executive director of the CO2 Coalition.
I know you can't say that. I can.
I can't. You can say.
I did,
and I didn't disagree with you, but I can't say.
I know you can't. But you're right. I mean, let's face it. China as a country is in glee over what you're talking about. You are correct in that. Yes.
Yes, and by a number of methods, their aim is to be the number one economic and military power in
right.
the world
right.
within the next few decades, and they don't have to do a darn thing to encourage that because we're self-destructing with the policies that are being proposed.
Where do you? I mean, outside of what I feel happens on, you know, behind closed doors and so on, outside of those types of meetings, Greg, where do you feel this "quote unquote love affair with quote, you know, again, it's not even, I have to say quotes around green energy because it's not green, but where do you think this love affair from even the general populace at times comes from?
I don't know. It's
mind-boggling to me.
It is, and the more you learn about it, I just hired an intern this week to work for me, and I'm tasking him to be our expert on what I want to do is look at what the aerial effect would be for each state, and we'll do it for Colorado as well.
Okay.
If you take away all of your coal, electric, and nuclear, because make no mistake, they don't like nuclear.
No, they don't.
And if what impact would that have on the landscape? And it'll be a great initiative for him to just we'll plot that out. Where would you have to put the solar panels? Where would you have to put the wind turbines? Nobody wants them in their backyard. And the funny thing is, a recent UN report, which was bogus and fake and a pseudoscience report, but it was on extinctions and this looming sixth extinction, they said the greatest threat to endangered animals was loss of habitat. What's their solution?
Yeah.
Put up 8,000 square miles of solar panels.
Take more away.
Down forests for wind turbines. So what do we got? We have to destroy the earth in order to save it? No, thank you. And the true, we have to look at this. There is no climate emergency.
No, there's not.
No climate crisis.
Thank you.
We're the CO2 Coalition we're huge in fighting against this and in talking about the major benefits we see of increasing CO2 and modest increase in temperature is doing great things as well.
No, you know, let's talk about that for just 1 second. First of all, Greg, inform all of our listeners. I know the answer, but give us the answers of what is our atmosphere, you know, the air that we breathe, what's it made up of, and how much of that is CO2?
Yeah, we've got about 0.04%
okay.
of the atmosphere is nitrogen. And that amounts to, we're just slightly under 420 parts per million of CO2. Now, they will say, well, it's too high. It's increased X percent. It's increased 130 since we... Yes, it has. Good. That's great. We should celebrate that. If we look throughout Earth's history, and again, I said it was less than 420 parts per million. Earth, if we look... I'm a geologist, so I look at the big picture. Earth's history, it averaged 2,600 parts per million, or 6.5 times what we are today. It was as high as 8,000 parts per million in life. Animals and plants flourished during these high CO2 levels, and we're going to do it again. We're seeing nothing. If you look by almost every metric, the Earth's ecosystems are improving, and the human condition is also improving alongside that. We're growing more crops year after year. We're breaking records.
Right.
And it's primarily associated with a warming temperature, which leads to longer growing seasons, so killing frost, stop earlier in the spring and arrive later in the fall, so you get more plantings in. You have some people that are, I'm sure, that are farmers around your listening
yes.
area. They're shaking their heads, yes, we'll be able to do that. We can get another cutting of hay in because of this.
Right.
And the CO2 increase is just leading to tremendous greening of the earth and the crop.
Here in Colorado, in this Denver area especially, Greg, we are now on track to, we already accomplished it. We have now had the second, in terms of history, when they recorded, you know, snow beginning, snow ending in a season, we're now the second snowiest as far as the length of time goes. We started early September, and we just had snow a few days ago. So we are, you know, here in Colorado, we're not seeing any effects of global warming or whatever they want to call it.
You're not alone. There's frost warming. I'm originally from Pittsburgh. My wife is up there right now. There's a frost warning tonight. Here it is. So
where's the warming, Greg? I guess I'm confused.
Well, and not only that, we're seeing it around the world. Just this week, South Africa experienced they're going into their winter, but one of the earliest snowfalls they've ever had. The Netherlands and Europe has experienced tremendous cold this winter and snowfalls that were...
And, you know, and I'm a guy that has a business where I plow snow and we do sorts of all sorts of things that way. So I watch the weather, you know, pretty consistently, actually daily, Greg. I watch the weather. And the reality is a lot of things that I've read, even when it comes to future predictions, is that in my world, we can expect a lot of what we've had this year in the you know, not too distant future. And there, a lot of guys are predicting that there's not going to be a warming trend. In fact, it may go the opposite.
Yeah, I heard that. There's a lot of talk about that, and I will tell you, I don't know.
I don't know.
They may well be right. We may be going into that cooling effect. It might not occur for another 100 years, but whenever it does arrive, it's going to be bad. It won't be as bad as if we look through Earth's history and human history, we know that the cold periods were horrific,
mm-hmm.
not the warm periods,
right.
like we're being told.
Right.
It won't be as bad. We'll still have crop failure because we saw
sure.
in every other cooling period. But we're not moving food around by ox carts, and we've got refrigeration. So we can alleviate some of the negative impacts that we had in the past. But it's still going to be very, very bad when we do get into that next cooling event.
Again, folks, Gregory Wrightstone, Executive Director of the CO2 Coalition. Greg, how do folks find you and the CO2 Coalition?
Yeah, CO2 Coalition's at co2coalition.org. And if you want, if you're going to say, oh, what can I do? Well, donate some money. I just hired a fellow last week. I need to hire more people. We're not underfunded, but we could
you can do more.
Every penny.
Yeah.
So co2coalition.org or learn about inconvenient facts at inconvenientfacts.org. Greg.xyz.
Oh, man, I appreciate you joining us, Greg, as always. You're always a great guest. You're on target. And believe it or not, even though we're a conservative show, there's a lot of folks out there listening that are on the other side of the aisle that continue to ask me questions along these lines that we're answering every time you're on. So well, I appreciate you doing that. We are reaching ears that, you know, aren't just conservative and believe everything you and I say. We're making a difference on the other side of the aisle as well.
They should go get my app, too.
Okay.
Go look for Inconvenient Facts. It's got everything on there you can have in the palm of your hand.
You know what? I will be the first one to download that when I get off air.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it very much. Have a great evening. American National Insurance is up next, folks, and my good friend Paul Leuenberger would love to help you with all of your insurance needs. Talk to him today. He's a great guy. He'll give you a quote free. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call him, 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789 and ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we'll jump right to the phones. Joe joining us now. Joe, what's up, sir?
John, I got some automotive questions for you about gas cans. So my first question on my Tupperware laundry tub, it doesn't have a max fill line, so how full can I fill that laundry tub before I put the clip the lid on?
Well, you better leave a little space for the growth of the fumes inside, Joe.
Okay, so about 2 inches?
Yeah, probably. I mean, this is ridiculous. I saw a lady on YouTube or something today, Joe, literally filling up a one of the checkout bags from the grocery store, double bagging at least, but filling that up with gas.
Oh, my God. All right, I got two more. So my next question, if I'm going to fill my – I do have 7 5-gallon gas red plastic jugs. Well, by the way, let me back to my laundry. Do I need to paint that laundry tub red to be
DOT compliant? Yeah, probably should be to be safe, yes.
Okay. All right. Now, my other 7 5-gallon gas cans, should I add the stabilizer to the cans before I pump the gas or after I pump the gas?
Well, I would do it after, but hopefully you'll be using it sooner than that. Although some of these folks, I begin to wonder how much this are going to have stockpiled around the house.
And then my last question, since I'm afraid that there won't be any gas stations available when I need gas, any downside to driving around for hundreds of miles with 7 5-gallon gas cans?
No problem at all, Joe. You're good.
No issues. So I'm good with that.
You're fine. No smell there. No issues of ruining the interior or anything like that. No, you'll be good. It's all great. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
It's unbelievable. The things that I've seen. So the best thing I've seen yet is I saw a video where a guy said, "Hey, let's make sure we keep everybody honest. So those of you that are really worried about, what's happening on the East Coast with fuel, go buy yourself about 5 5-gallon gas cans, fill them up with water and sugar, leave them on the back tailgate of your truck, and let's just see who's honest." Not bad, by the way.
Not bad. By the way, is it that bad in Denver?
No, because it's
the East Coast. I mean, it's just crazy.
We've had a little bit of a price tick up here, but, nothing too major. Now, there are talks that if it continues on your end, it could eventually work its way here. But those are two completely separate, distribution pipelines and so on. So that is the one fortunate thing we have is they are not tied together at all.
All right, so you don't have hoarding. I know you got a guest coming in a few minutes. One more question. Are you going to talk about the spike in the rate of inflation that began 3 months ago?
In fact, Ms. Schneider's coming on next. That's exactly what we're going to talk about with her. She's from Market Gauge Group, and, she's actually the bestseller author of Plant Your Money Tree, A Guide to Growing Your Wealth, and Nothing Eats Away More at Wealth Than Inflation.
Did you get the chance to look at that graph I sent you?
Honestly, like I told you, that's really not far from what, those of us that were watching this, and I don't know where all these quote-unquote experts are, Joe, but, this is the kind of stuff you and I have been watching and predicting all along.
Yep, Oh, and that's right. I apologize. You did send me back. Yeah, so for those listening who haven't seen it, there's a graph of inflation rate, and it kind of, for the last 5 years, it kind of, you know, goes along, mm-hmm. 0.5%, 0.75%, and all of a sudden, January, it goes straight
spikes.
Up like a hockey stick.
Yep.
Straight up near 4.5% or 4.2%.
I thought you sent me something about greenhouse gases at first, Joe. Just kidding.
I did. Well, that was about China, by the way. China is emitting all the greenhouse gases more
that we're
than
trying
all the
to save. Yeah. No comment.
By the way, what my father said told me many years ago. He didn't say this in respect to what the U.S., but he had this saying, which I will now apply to the U.S. What the U.S. does or doesn't do with respect to limiting greenhouse gas emissions won't amount to the proverbial fart in a gale of wind unless mm-hmm. countries like China and India get on board.
That's right.
No matter what we do, it won't make a difference unless China gets on board.
Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, back to the inflation thing, Joe, I guess I'm really confused again at the quote-unquote, you know, experts, including the Federal Reserve, that for some odd reason, you know, A, tweak the numbers to where it satisfies what they want, and or just aren't willing to admit that there's actually inflation out there. And what I mean by that, folks that are listening, a lot of these inflationary indexes that you'll see and some of the data that's behind them, they exclude a lot of the things that you all are buying on a daily basis to survive, i.e. food and energy. They exclude those from the core rate of inflation, which, by the way, Joe, is a bunch of crap.
Right. And by the way, when energy goes up, be it fuel or electricity, it impacts everything you go in a grocery store.
That's right.
Not only does it take a lot of energy to get that food to the grocery store, all that refrigerated food, meat, lettuce.
Yeah, you got to do it once it arrives.
Ice cream.
Yep.
It takes a tremendous amount of energy to keep that cold and refrigerated. So when energy goes up, the price of food goes up.
Guess we could talk for an hour about this, but it's mind-boggling to me that they do not look at all things, which is what your chart you sent me is all items. Why don't they look at all items? Why do they cherry pick this?
It's a political thing, John. It's a political smoke and mirrors. Is exactly what the administration doesn't want you to see the true picture, because food and energy are the two of the biggest items any homeowner. I mean, your mortgage is fixed. Your mortgage doesn't
mm-hmm.
change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your taxes might go up a little bit, but your mortgage payment is relatively fixed and doesn't go up and down with inflation. Food and energy are the two biggest variable in your household budget. So I don't know, you know, it's just politics and
it's garbage is what it is. It's total garbage.
It's garbage.
So, we're going to talk about that with Mitch Schneider next. So, Joe, as always, stay safe. And, gosh, this hoarding of gasoline out there, I'm wondering, when is the next news article going to be out where somebody lit themselves on fire because of the stupid things they're doing?
It's just a matter of days, John.
It really is, Joe. There are folks listening. Please believe me when I say this. Joe can attest to this. There are such stupidity and such stupid things going on when it comes to what we're talking about. You know, gasoline is an explosive. It's something you need to be very careful of in how you handle, store, and maintain. And Joe, there's people out there that are just dead. They're dumb as a rock.
Dumber than a rock.
Unbelievable. I can't believe. I mean, again, that's what we're going to see next. This is just ridiculous.
All right, be good.
Thanks,
John.
Joe. Appreciate it, man. As always, we'll be back. Talk to Mitch in a moment. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next, folks. Speaking of gas, which, yeah, your vehicle takes, make sure that your vehicle, though, is running in top working order. And, again, keep it lasting as long as possible. One of the best ways to save money and then have money to do investing with is to keep your vehicle running as long as possible. KLZradio.com is where you find them, or call 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
All right, Flesh and Beck is up next. Kevin Flesh, he would love to help you with any legal matter you've got going on, whether you're being sued or you need to sue somebody else, whether the insurance company's not ponying up and doing what they need to do. You name it, Kevin is there to help. Call him at 303-806-8886 or find him online at fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Real quick before I talk to Mitch Schneider here, I just got an update that the Colonial Pipeline has returned into operation following that cyber attack. So gasoline now will start flowing again on the East Coast. It may take several days, though, for the product to actually be delivered back to the supply chain as normal. So some markets may actually still see some outages for a few days. But that's good news. That's back online. And that should help some things on the East Coast. Michelle Schneider joining us now. How are you today, Michelle?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always a joy to talk to you. Inflation, by the way, finally, folks are admitting that it's actually there, where folks like you and I have been talking about it now for several months. It's amazing they finally admit that it's there. What took them so long?
Well, that is definitely a good question. I think part of it had to do with the metrics, which didn't really show up, some of these increases that we've seen, like in used cars, as one of the aspects that are in their metrics that are now inflationary, and then the gasoline and things like that. A lot of the metrics they were using up to this point excluded energy and food.
Right, which I don't understand at all. I was just talking to one of my listeners about that. To me, that just makes no sense whatsoever. Those are things people use on a daily basis.
Absolutely. It doesn't make any sense. And maybe now things will change down the road. Who knows? But they also, I don't think, was on their mind that much, because they anticipated, why they keep using the word transitory, a certain amount of inflation with the advent of coming back from the pandemic.
Okay.
So they were, and it is bizarre, and I'm certainly not trying to justify their thinking. But considering you and I have talked about the reasons for inflation having been because of the pandemic, the supply chain disruption, the
right,
low supply, the money supply surge, the debt surge, the government spending, why they were sort of in the dark about that. Maybe it was denial. Maybe they, like I said, they wanted it to run hot past 2% and they just thought they could control it. It was so obvious. You can't control something as large as what has happened.
I agree.
Because there's so many different variables that have contributed to this.
I agree. And again, either they're dumb like a fox and they knew all along what was going on and played dumb, or they're really dumb as an egghead. I don't know which, Michelle. I really can't figure it out.
Or so out of touch.
Out of touch. That's true. That's a third option. Yeah, you're right. That could be another option. You're right.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, Senator Elizabeth Warren said that there was no inflation.
Pumped a gallon of gas in the last 30 years.
And I was thinking, or has gone to the supermarket.
Right.
Right.
I mean, is a lady that has two sub-zero, probably $40,000, and I'm not exaggerating at that price level, folks, two $40,000 refrigerators in her kitchen. You think she shops at King Supers or Safeway or any of those places? You're crazy.
No, she probably doesn't shop. Probably not, nor does Jerome Powell or Janet Yellen. I doubt right. very much any of them go into a supermarket and have, you know, the typical life that we all have, us plebeians.
Right.
So it is a bit of a surprise. Now, also, not so much of a surprise, is that all of a sudden it's like, wow, inflation. And we saw nearly a 700-point drop in the Dow today. So the question really, of course, for me is, will we be prepared? Yeah. I mean, you know that we've talked about the fact that we were long a lot of commodities and we were kind of light in equities. But really, what happens now? Now that they've kind of figured it out, does this mean rates are going to continue to rise? This still does not do anything for their ultimate dilemma, which is, what do you do here? Do you raise rates? Do you talk about tapering? Do you do the things that typically control inflation at the risk of a fragile economy? Because all the stats that have come out has shown that the economy is not nearly as robust, another area of complete out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then put us back into the skid? Or do you continue to let it run hot, figuring, okay, not so bad, the economy will come back?
You want my answer?
What's your answer?
I don't think they know. I don't think they know what to do. I'm being honest. I really don't. I don't think they really know what to do or what the answer is. And I think this is going to be a really wild roller coaster ride for all of us lemmings that are out there, because they're going to do things that, frankly, Mish, I don't think they have any idea what they're doing.
You know, I wouldn't disagree with you. Let's put it that way. It would certainly be very unnerving to the market to think that the powers that be, the people who are actually controlling our banking systems, don't know what they're doing. But
okay, let me ask you this, though, real quick. And I'm sorry if I'm going to step on some toes here, because there's very few exceptions to what I'm going to say. Mish, how many bankers have you ever met that could run their own business? Any?
Yeah, no. Like, it's like economists. How do they predict what the economy is doing? This, by the way, did not just surprise the banks. It also surprised the economists. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I don't understand this. I mean, you and I have been talking about this for months.
Exactly, and we're not bankers or economists.
No.
Maybe that's it. We're practical and we're realists and investors. And so, yeah, it's
okay. So for those that are listening, we know that inflation, now they're finally admitting, is here. So if you've got money in a checking account or a savings account, it's eroding as we speak, to the tune of, if the numbers are even accurate, and I think they're low, by the way, they're saying 4%. I'm going to say it's somewhere around 6.5% to 7% in real numbers, but that's just my equation, and it's a seat of the pants equation because I can't prove it, but that's just my own gut feeling, Mish, as to what things really are right now. So let's just say, though, we'll use their numbers, it's 4%. If you got cash sitting around in the bank, it's losing value at 4%. Am I right?
Well, yes. There's only one little difference with all of this, is that typically we think that the inflation going up necessarily means that the dollar keeps losing value. But the dollar's got its own set of problems and issues happening here.
Okay, explain.
So right now we have, you know, inflation. We all know what it is. You know, supply is down, demand goes up. And, of course, your dollar buys less, and we're seeing that already. And the dollar has been down. But there's also the variables that are going on with the dollar that have nothing to do with any of that. And that more has to do with the digital currency revolution that's happening in different countries, particularly China right now with yuan, and the cryptocurrencies, even though today, right before we got on, Elon Musk said he's no longer taking Bitcoin for Tesla because of environmental issues. That's only one coin. We've seen Dogecoin come up. We've seen Ethereum go crazy, all these other things. There's all these coins. Today there was a big story about Shiba coin, which is based, it's worth nothing except for the fact that it caused a flash crash in the cryptocurrency space today because of the Russian kid, I can't remember his name, the 25-year-old kid who invented this whole thing, gifted a lot of his supply that he had of his Shiba coin to India for COVID relief, and it just sent transaction fees crazy. Everything went nuts, and everything crashed for a moment. But that's just a little aside story, which I kind of thought was interesting, because these meme coins that they keep calling jokes could actually wreak havoc like this did today. But let's put that aside. The whole DeFi, the decentralized finance revolution, is here. So now let's bring in the U.S. government and banking. We're in denial about cryptocurrencies. We're in denial about the fact that they're here to stay. We're in denial about adopting any kind of digital currency. We are losing ground and credibility worldwide. This is what keeps me up at night, in a sense, because I've kind of said, sort of hoping I was wrong, that the dollar could actually lose its status as the world.
Well, I think there's, I don't think you're wrong, and I don't think you're wrong in losing sleep over it. I'm like you, same thing, because I firmly believe there are some very high-powered individuals, and this is not a conspiracy theory. I think this is real. There are some very high-powered individuals around the world, globalist individuals, that would love nothing more than to see the dollar go away and put in place something else.
Oh, there's no conspiracy theory. There has been actually basically voiced. You know, you have to kind of look for
sure.
It. But yeah, I mean, China doesn't have to say it. They are obviously, that's what they're trying to do.
That's right.
Is what they're trying to do.
I want to add something to what you just said. This also, Mish, where I feel, and tell me if I'm wrong, but a lot of this push to this quote-unquote green energy end of things, taking us away from oil, which right now is all traded in dollars, by the way, for everybody listening, that's how oil works, and I don't think that's ever going to change, frankly. It's all done in dollars. Well, if we go away from that, and you no longer need it, and you're not using as much of it, and then we start trading with, you know, China on, you know, precious metals, and we put some other commodity, you know, some other form of payment in place, well, then the dollar is useless. Am I right?
Yeah, but well, you're right in theory, but I'm not too worried about that. Because let's just look at what's happening in the markets right now. The whole electric car space has gotten hammered. Everything that has to do with electric technology has gotten hammered. Tesla itself has gotten hammered. Meanwhile, classic oil and energy keeps rocketing higher.
Okay.
So the market is smarter than anybody else. That's what you always have to look at price, pure price. I'm a commodities trader from way back. We didn't hear all these headlines. We followed pure price. So you can deduce, just like we did about inflation, that regardless of what the politicos or environmentalists think and want, and no one's going to deny that clean energy is a bad thing, regardless, it is not the efficient way at this point to fuel things. And now we're seeing, of course, the new situation, which is horrific all around, which is what's going on in Israel,
right,
which at this point could drive the oil prices higher if countries like Iran get involved and it escalates further.
Right.
So I'm not too worried about what you're saying
okay.
right now, because we still need oil. The gas lines, because of the pipeline cyber attack, is real.
Agree.
Nobody's saying, oh, good, now let me go buy an electric car because I'll never have to worry about this.
Yeah, true. No, you have a great point. The only thing I will question you on when you say the market is very smart, being a car guy myself, and I still don't feel Tesla's value is anywhere close to being accurate, and yet the market has continued to keep it valued, in my opinion, much, much, much higher than what its actual value is. Explain that one to me, please.
Well, because basically Tesla stock became more than just value. It became a movement. Elon Musk is a movement. I mean, just look what happened this past weekend when he went on Saturday Night Live and he basically altered the entire Dogecoin space. Now he comes out with the idea of Bitcoin and Bitcoin crashed after hours. So I think that there was just this cumulative, and also, by the way, it's not just the car. It's also the idea of his space travel.
True.
And SpaceX and a lot of the innovation that Musk talks about. So people were buying Tesla as a result. And let's not forget, 30% of the global car market goes to Tesla. China is huge in buying Tesla. So mm-hmm. even though we may not be seeing it as much here in America, it is going on. So there are reasons. But in the last 3 or 4 days, I've watched the stock go from $750 a share down to about $550 a share today. So mm-hmm. it's dropped $200 in just a couple of days.
That's true.
Nothing is infallible.
That's true.
No one is infallible. And that's why I love the market so much, because they kind of give you that clue and humbles you quick if you think anything else.
All right, we've got a few minutes left here. For folks that are listening and trying to do what they can to stave off inflation, what should they be doing?
a couple of things is, obviously, there's not much you can do about buying the things that you need to live on.
Nope, you got
to
have them.
You have to have food. You got to have them. And so what's unfortunate, and I'm going to say this because it really affects people who are lower socioeconomic brackets in particular, is they turn to sugar. And they turn to bad food and snacks and foods that are cheaper.
True.
Because, the other thing that's so unfortunate is that healthy food, organic produce, or whatever
costs
it is
more.
That's considered, costs way more.
Yes.
So you want to talk conspiracy theory. Don't get me started about, corporate control and keeping people fat and dumb and depressed and everything else. We don't even want to go there. That's another time. That's my ultimate conspiracy theory. But it's not wrong. Because here we go. Inflation, real people get hurt, they turn to sugar. So try at least not to get your health all messed up over
good point. This. Good try point. To, great advice, right? By the way. Great advice. Yeah, in fact, if anything, sacrifice something else, but keep eating right.
Exactly. Get rid of your Coca-Cola and, sorry, Coke, the company, and instead, at least drink tap water. And if your tap water is no good, buy one of those Brita filters. Don't go out and buy bottled water because that's also ridiculously expensive.
Right.
And then in terms of the actual investment, if you have a 401k and today is any kind, if we can't get some level of stabilization, and particularly if oil starts skyrocketing for whatever reason, then I would certainly be somewhat cautious about protecting some of those assets. Maybe time to call up your financial planner or your workplace and find out what you can do to put some safeguards there. But then that begs the question, what's safe? You can't go buy bonds right now because bonds have been crashing. So I think really the best thing to do is to do as little as possible to keep a very low profile. And obviously you have to get, people haven't gone back to work, but find out if you can continue remote work for as long as possible so you don't also have to stop paying ridiculous prices for gas.
Okay. Great advice. Mitch, how do folks find you and all the things you talk about on a daily basis?
Well, Twitter would be one of the best places, and that's at Market Minute. I also do morning stories, and all of my media clips go up on Instagram, and that's Mish, M-I-S-H, Schneider. And then our website is www.marketgage.com, where we also offer a lot of good commentary for free.
Awesome. Mish, it's always a joy having you. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was great talking to you.
Have a great night. Really, really appreciate it. She's solid, folks. If you need any help, again, go look her up. She's got a lot of great advice, as you could tell there a moment ago. Affordable interest mortgage is next. And by the way, another great way to save some money. And you may find yourself just, refinancing, taking some cash out, doing some different things with that. There's a lot of things you can do to still help stave off inflation. Give a call to Kurt and find out some of the options that he could give you. 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Sharon says, "Love this company. They have gone above and beyond to respond to our copier and service needs for the past 10 years. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price, so they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. A couple minutes left, really, of the show today. So I'll finish with this. Ever wonder where the extended warranty phone call companies, you know, come from, where they get your number from? Well, turns out the Attorney General's office here in Colorado is investigating if data sold by the DMV is in fact being used by the car warranty companies. By the way, it's the only answer for how they can get your information and then call you when they do. The postcard-shaped warnings show up in your mailbox a week after being after a vehicle is registered. It'll usually say something along the lines of the factory warranty on your blank may have expired or is about to expire. If you neglect that plan, blah, 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 blah. Question is, where are they getting this information from? Well, again, this is where our attorney general is doing some investigation work to find out exactly what's going on. It's hardly a secret, by the way, that DMV sells your data. By the way, they've done that for years. And it's been, recognized and journaled over the years. I would tell the attorney general and the state of Colorado both, that needs to stop. This is a taxpayer-funded department that by no means needs to be selling my, your, or anyone else's information. And frankly, it chaps my hide that they are. Who gave the sloths permission to sell my info? I didn't. So who did? This is one of those areas, by the way, where we encourage phone calls from time to time. This is one where you need to be calling the attorney general and saying, what in the world is going on here? And if, in fact, we're selling information from the DMV as far as registrations and such go, that needs to stop. And frankly, folks, it needs to. That's garbage. So call the attorney general. Explain to him your frustration. I am so sick and tired of having my phone ring trying to tell me that my extended warranty or my warranty is out and I need to buy theirs, which, by the way, it's not even a warranty, it's a service contract. That's another conversation for Drive Radio you can listen in on because you can't even call it a warranty. It's a contract. The only way they can sell you a warranty is the original car manufacturer themselves, period, no one else. Anybody tells you different, they're lying. So anyways, this is one of those things where you need to call the attorney general and basically say, yeah, we want this. We want to get to the bottom of this, find out exactly what's going on. Franktown Firearms is next, folks. They're going to join us, by the way, on Monday. But in the meantime, give them a call. Anything you need when it comes to your firearm needs. And if you're just new to this and you're thinking, hey, I'd like to own a gun, they'll help you. They'll do the training, walk you through the whole process, make sure the gun fits you. There's all sorts of things that need to happen. It's not as simple as just picking something off the shelf like they do in the movies and shooting it. There's a lot more involved than that. Call them today, 720-770-7777, or find them at klzradio.com.
Find more guns and ammo at lower prices, only at Franktown Firearms. Everyone says they value long-term relationships with their customers, but the team at Franktown Firearms back up their words with actions by keeping their prices fair and their shelves as full as possible. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, the team at Franktown Firearms has developed a reputation for reliability, which allows them to keep their shelves stocked during nationwide shortages. Because they always have new shipments coming in, they haven't had to hike up prices, so you can find guns and ammo at or below MSRP. You will go back again and again to a shooting range and gun store where you feel respected, and the team at Franktown Firearms shows respect through reasonable prices and a consistent supply of guns and ammo. Fill out their contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, that's going to do it for the day, folks. I really appreciate y'all listening and the conversations we've had today, the great guests. Tomorrow we've got a great lineup for you. Rachel Keene will be with me. Jim Dennison, of course, will join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to talk some energy tomorrow. We're going to talk Twitter, canceling Trump's account. Scott Garlis will join us as he does on Thursdays. We got a lot in store for you. So enjoy. The National Crawford Roundtable is next. We'll be back tomorrow, though, with another full 3 hours. Don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.